Lake Effect continues on WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Tom Bamberger is not shy. The award-winning photographer and architecture critic is known for his acerbic take on the shortcomings of Milwaukee's architecture and public spaces.
So it was a bit of a surprise when Bamberger recently sent me a review that was downright glowing. In fact, this article followed a previous one that was equally fulsome. So before we got to the review subject itself, I was curious where all this positivity was coming from.
I wouldn't call it a New Year's resolution, but it did occur to me that on the internet, there is so much sourness sort of permeates our culture that I have made an effort to write more about things that I love. And I think ultimately that has a larger impact. It's very easy to diss things, to be superior to something. But when you love something or you get behind it in a fulsome way, I think it's a little more vulnerable. It's a little more meaningful.
Present, maybe.
Yeah.
Even.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what you're talking about in this article are the gardens, Northwestern Mutual's gardens.
Yes.
What is it that you love about them?
Well, I guess the first thing, and I've always wanted to say this on the radio, I'm a critic of urban design. And most of the stuff that I cover is where people are just sort of faking it. You know, they're trying to make a buck and they're not really trying. They're just trying to get the building built and to get it through the committees. But this is a case where they really tried, where they hired a really fantastic and well-known landscape architect named James Burnett, and they really tried. And there's so much I like about it, but the one thing, if you remember, they used to have this little park there that was sort of like an Olmstedian park. It had kind of a curvy path, and it had trees.
Lots of trees.
Yeah, lots of trees that buffered the sidewalk in the city, and that's a very familiar kind of landscape. But what really caught my eye is the rationality of this landscape. It's classically drawn. There's lots of straight lines, lots of rectangles, which has been something that has been totally removed from our landscape. It's a completely new thing in America.
For designed landscapes
since... Well, if you look at all of our parks.
Basically Olmsted.
Olmsted, right.
So the idea, you know, I always think of Olmsted as something that's supposed to be organic. There's these fluid shapes and
exactly.
It's almost amoebic, you know. And so the idea here is that they're getting away from that, or that they have gotten away from
yes.
that.
Yes. So Olmsted, I got into a little trouble in my article because if you look in the comments section, because I said something about Olmsted that he hated cities, and there's all these people in Milwaukee that love Olmsted because they love Lake Park, and you know my dad wanted his ashes in Lake Park. Everybody loves Lake Park, but Olmsted, and you're exactly right. Olmsted actually was a big proponent of cities. He was a progressive, and he saw the potential for cities to create new ways of living. And he even wrote about women. You know, women didn't have to work on the farm. They could be involved with culture. And there was a division of labor in cities that allowed all these possibilities, all this opportunity. But during the time that he was forming his ideas, cities were an absolute disaster. They were a cesspool. I mean, New York City, from 1820, it grew from 152,000 to 1 million people.
On the island of Manhattan.
From 1860 to 1820. And then there were these just cataclysmic problems with sanitation and so forth. So if you read Stieglitz's letters to O'Keefe, leaving the city, the country home was basically a health club.
And so was Central Park meant to be a respite?
Yes,
in the city?
No. And, yep. And so he actually talks about it very explicitly as a prophylactic. It was therapeutic. And you're right about the organic shapes. He hated the grid. And he wanted to create these organic shapes, and everything is like organic, swirls around in Milwaukee and all the Olmstedian things. But it's also been adopted in golf courses and all the suburbs. They took this grammar of Olmsted to give you a break from the city. And if you go to Central Park, you notice that there's always like a line of trees. You're supposed to leave the city because the city, though not in principle a bad thing, was a nightmare. Was a literally pathogenic, as they called it. And there were writings about this. This isn't, you know, about the therapeutic qualities of nature. And he thought that he was making the city livable and civilized. And it goes along with the Jeffersonian idea of the goodness of the country. And most of the intellectuals, you know, kind of thought the city was like a bad thing. And the country was what renewed you and gave you good values.
Get back to nature, the idea of getting back.
Right.
Well, and I find it so funny because when you look at the Olmstedian type of park, Lake Park being a perfect example, we tend to forget, I think, that that was just as constructed as this new garden in front of Northwestern Mutual, that it's no more, quote unquote, natural.
Right.
One is no more natural than the
Olmsted
other.
Olmsted used more explosives to make Central Park than was used in the Civil War. It's a crazy thing. And, you know, the amount of trees and so forth. No, so it is a construction. It's a pastoral construction. And what's interesting is this was a response to really unlivable cities, cities that didn't have sanitation. All of a sudden, skyscrapers are going up, you know, this incredible growth of urban life. So now what I find fascinating is now all of a sudden we can go back to the grid. Now, there's the Kylie Gardens in front of the PAC, which is probably the first one, and I think that's 60s or 70s. Nothing happened since then. Kylie was a lone wolf. Then there's the Kylie straight line thing in front of the museum. But now, if you notice, underneath the freeway, the new freeway construction by Lincoln Memorial Drive, there's actually a grid of trees, which is a completely new thing. And I think grids and straight lines, all the things that Olmsted hated, is our nature, something about human beings. You know, one of the greatest things we ever did was geometry, to imagine a straight line. There are really no straight lines in nature. You know, when people first laid the first railroad track that went to a straight line to a horizon, it's, you know, a fantastic, arresting human thing. So the grammar, what I love about the Burnett thing, the Northwestern Mutual Gardens, is that it reflects, it celebrates the rectilinearity of the city rather than trying to buffer. You can look in the ordinances. There's 58 different mentions of buffering in the city ordinances.
For any kind of greenery or park.
Yeah,
or
you
something.
Buffer. You have to buffer all of these things. But now we've, you know, all the industries moved out of cities. We're not slaughtering pigs in cities anymore. We actually have sanitation. We're not walking in human
excrement.
Excrement, yeah, thanks. I was looking for the right word there.
The one we can say on the radio.
The one you can say on the radio, right. And now that, you know, people are living in a city unlike any city that's ever existed in
America. And by choice.
And by choice. And understanding they're interested in the connectivity of a city. Now we have this garden that is really connected. When you walk through it, you realize how, first of all, how it sweeps around the building, which sweeps, and how connected it is to that, but how it fits into, rather than buffers, this sort of rectilinearity of the city. And the same thing's happening under the freeway, and I'm thinking, wow, that's interesting. It was just a given that if you wanted something nice, in quotes, you'd have to have a curvy, you know, people wanted to live at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Quote, unquote, natural, going back to that, you know, this.
Natural.
But constructed natural.
Yes.
And I'm going back to something you said about the idea of the grid, the straight line is very human. And it almost seems like in the case of this garden, if we're going to construct nature, which is what we're doing with any of this, we might as well construct it to represent what we are and who we are.
You know, I would put it a slightly different way, but I think you're right. I don't know that we really know who we are. Human beings aren't that smart. We think we know, but I'm not so sure we do. But I do think that one thing that human beings do, I mean, if you've ever seen a picture many times in France, the landscape, they may have a road and just perfect line trees down the road. You know, things that stand out where human beings have interacted with the landscape that are not, in quotes, organic, are just fascinating and wonderful and arresting. Now, I studied evolutionary theory in college and in graduate school, and of course, Darwin wouldn't think that anything human beings do would be inorganic. It's kind of a weird Christian idea that nature is good and we are bad, but we're actually part of nature, and our beehive things that we make tend to, we do straight lines, we do boxes. Now with a computer,
we like symmetry.
Right, we can do curvy things.
Yep.
But I think there's something about the rectilinear, the 90-degree angle in a straight line, the sharpness of it, the clarity of it, that has also been, you know, exploited in minimalist art in the 20th century. It was a huge discovery of sort of just basic human shapes.
Well, and from your article, you both not only like the design, you like being in it. You mm-hmm. like actually spending time in the space.
Right.
So from the pictures, I mean, I've walked by it. Mm-hmm. I have not spent time in it. For you, when you approach it, what is it that feels welcoming to you? Is it that rectilinearity, or is it a combination of that and something else?
I don't know that welcoming, you know, let me put it this way. We like to think that nature is good and it's there for us and it cares about us. But in many ways, you know, nature, of course, is indifferent. And in some ways, what's arresting about an organized space is that it's unnatural.
We've kept nature at bay.
Yes, that nature, it's all those little crooks and crannies and all that chaos, something that you can't really wrap your mind around, has been organized, linearized, clarified, refined, and that we've exerted control.
I was going to say, some would say sanitized, that has all been sanitized so that it's more appealing to us.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, I would think that the sort of diluted Olmstedian landscape is
more sanitized.
It's more like those, you know, those tissues you buy with cute little designs on them to wipe your butt, you know, or whatever. Like, you don't want to just have a regular white piece of paper that you pull off and it's a perfect rectangle. We put some curvy design on it, you know.
Yep.
But no, I think there's a bit of awe when you go in there because the space is variegated and there's different levels. And when you're up by the building, the sweep of the building and then the sweep of the city is all of this man-made, and then, of course, there's the lake, is kind of inspiring. If you think about nature where we lived, when people came over the Appalachian Mountains into what was called the West at the time, they couldn't see anywhere more than 30 feet because it was all trees. You know, we cut down trees to make fields. And to create these spaces is kind of, rather than it being cloistered and, you know, sitting around a bush. I always think that the Olmstedian idea for the suburbs is that everybody, rather than looking at a beautiful building or the sweep of architecture or something man-made, they get to look at their very own bush. That's, you know, that's the great thing. And this is not looking at a bush. It's not being hemmed in. It's open and expansive. And straight lines have a kind of Euclidean infinity associated with them. You know, they kind of can go on forever in your mind. So the way the lines sort of connect up with the larger world that's kind of breathtaking. It also exposes people. People are on precipices. They're exposed. This isn't where everybody's in their little nook and private. People are on display, much like, you know, Juno Park used to be, where people used to promenade around. So it's a good place to watch people. I mean, it's not finished yet. It'll be very interesting for me to see how it's inhabited, you know, this summer. And I'm sure that in the plaza area, they'll have events and so forth. And the trees are going to grow. But even if you look at all the gardening, it is rational. There's a block of this sort of plant, a block of this. You could even say it's kind of crude, but in the sense that if a child did it, they might, you know, make a block of this and a block of that. But there's something... The simplicity of it, I think, is kind of courageous rather than sort of messing it all up.
How does it work with the building?
Wonderfully. It's reverent to the building. And, you know, the building has this fantastic sweep to it.
And it is curved.
Yes. Oh, no, it has a beautiful arc to it. There are ordinances where, and if you look at a lot of landscaping at McDonald's or whatever, or even at old-fashioned apartment buildings, they always have bushes buffering, you know, even in the suburbs, buffering the intersection between the lawn or the landscape and the building. Like there's something obscene there. This design celebrates the seam between the building and the land. It's naked. It's bare. It's explicit. Everything's explicit. you get to see all the moving parts. Nothing's obscured. So,
and you are, from what you're saying, you are one of the moving parts.
Yes.
If you're in that space.
Right, yes, yeah. And yes, absolutely. So I just so appreciate, I mean, I think that this kind of landscape and, you know, what's under the freeway, I think it's going to really change the way a lot of people see urban spaces. You know, it's kind of ironic now. Don't you think it's ironic that, you know, Olmsted was really anti-urbanist to the cities of today. He was an urbanist in the cities of his day that were cesspools. But we've somehow canonized this anti-urbanist design. And I don't want to, I mean, people are going to just hate me. I mean, I love Olmsted.
No, but you're talking about of his time,
yes.
It made sense. The
yes.
design made sense. We're in a different time, and we use cities in a different way. We live in them in a different
exactly.
way. We interact with them in a different way. And so there's nothing, to me, that's sacred about hanging on to a design that no longer works for the way you use a space.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't work at all. It works some of the time. What's amazing to me is how it is more or less a religion. Every single suburb, golf courses, every single constructed landscape has these curvy and the almond ponds, and that this grammar has, it's sort of like a kudzu that has overrun, you know. And so I think this is such a relief, and Burnett has really sort of integrated Kylie and Olmsted to a certain extent, but it's just so interesting, Kylie having these two pieces here, and I think they want to get rid of the Grove at the PAC. I heard some rumor that would be stupid, of course. But the fact that Kylie was such a lone wolf in America. I met him right before he died when he came to Milwaukee. And if you look at his things, they were just amazing. He worked with Saarinen in a lot of projects, but his modernist idea of the rational landscape was totally rejected by America. So I guess what
so
I...
So do you think this is a turning point?
I think it's a turning point in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at what's under the freeway, I mean, grids are fantastic. A grid of trees is a organized orchards are fantastically beautiful. And you know how people learn from their immediate environment? I think that we're going to see the land around buildings organized in a different way.
And yeah. We will talk about it
yes.
when it happens.
Yes.
So, Tom Bamberger, always great to have you in the studio. Happy 2018, and we will talk again soon.
Nice seeing you, Bonnie.
Photographer and architecture critic Tom Bamberger's review of Northwestern Mutual's Garden Plaza is at Urban Milwaukee. You'll find a link and pictures from WUWM.com.